Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cooked you a turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
Go get him, Eric. I love all our corners, don't get me wrong, but go get him, Eric.
Have you got a chance to talk to Jair about coming here?
Yeah, I hit him up. You never know with Jair. That's my boy, man.
Lamar Jackson talking about Jair Alexander, now former Green Bay Packer cornerback. Contract impasse led to his leaving Lambeau Field. This guy's a high-level player, but a lot of injury issues going on throughout his career, which is one of the reasons why I guess Green Bay didn't want to commit to him big time financially. Still young, still in the prime of his career age-wise. And Lamar, teammate of Alexander's at Louisville, at the collegiate level, saying, "We heard him. Go get him, Eric." I mean, chances of that happening or what? And secondly, based on what you've seen with the young cornerbacks, is there really a need for a Jair Alexander right now?
Yeah, the young quarterback. The thing is, if you go get an Alexander type, it's got to be like a lot of incentive-based, you know, about games played, because you're worried about the injury. So you got to protect yourself in that one. But, you know, like T.J. Tampa made a hell of a play on an interception in the end zone yesterday. Made a hell of a play, you know, and he's playing well. Armour Davis is playing well. That's another guy healthy, you know. I mean, he's got to stay healthy. Maybe this year is the year. Now, Reuben Lowry. Who's Reuben Lowry? Number 30. He's an undrafted free agent. He's 5'9", 204 out of Tennessee, Chattanooga. He's got great feet, change of direction. He's been making plays. He's been showing up. He has been showing up. And that's the thing about it is otherwise, you don't know who number 30. You know, if you got to go down and look and say, who's 30, he did something good. You know, and 30 is showing up. Kyle Hamilton looks real good. You know, I mean, he looks good. You know, I mean, he's not a young player. But Malachi Starks, we talked about him earlier, Bob. I love him. I think he's going to be tremendous. And, you know, he was defensive rookie of the year. Would not shock me, because I think he's going to have a ton of interceptions and his instincts and all those things. And that's the same with Tampa. They both have great ball instincts. They're both got length. You know, both will hit. I think both are going to be players for them this year.
Again, why did Tampa fall to the fourth round?
Speed. He had, like, after, like, prior to the combine, Bob, he had, like, the groin surgery, you know, and then he ran, like, 4.52 or whatever, and he wasn't totally healthy here at camp, and I'm guessing that's why he fell to the fourth, because 4.52, they're saying a corner, you know, how do you cover at 4.52? So that's the thing. And another guy who made a real nice interception yesterday was Simpson. You know, which anything that Simpson's doing good, we're going to talk about, because made a nice interception on Lamar, made a hell of a play. Jake Hummel dropped one right in his hands, dropped it. I said, Jake, you fit in well, you know, but those are a couple guys that, you know, made some plays, you know, on the ball. And I talked about it earlier. I mean, Kyle Van Noy, Bob. Kyle Van Noy, you watch him out there in the drills and stuff, and he's helping everybody else. Like, they were running some stunts and stuff, and he's telling, like, the tackle and everything exactly how you have to do it. I mean, you know, you got to go here because I'm coming here kind of stuff. I mean, it was just impressive to me watching him teach that guy. And that's why he gets double-digit sacks every year, because he's so smart, so aware, you know, and everything. Oh, Adam Schefter.
Yeah, hold on. We've got happy coincidence here. We were just talking about Jair Alexander, and Nolan McGraw was in my ear with the, we need a breaking news, like, dun, 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 something like that. But Nolan McGraw We've got breaking news.
Yeah, he's here and he's already signed. I mean, I'm staring at a picture of him in the contract room.
They're hugging. I'm looking at a lot of hugging going
on. They snuck him in here under the cover of night. Nothing about it. It didn't take long at all. So we heard Lamar yesterday. He urged it. He wanted it. He's already here. He's already signed.
I'm guessing Lamar already knew. He was probably here yesterday taking a physical or working out or whatever. But, yeah, good for them. So now, you know, that kind of tells you a little bit.
Awuzie
looks just okay at best.
So Jair Alexander signed, sealed, and delivered to the Ravens just like that. Lamar said, go get him. He got him. Told Eric DaCosta. Hey, Lamar, tell Eric to get Bob Haney $10 million.
Yes.
Just for the hell of it. See if he'll he'll acquiesce to that. But now he comes in. What young guy feels the squeeze? Because we're going to assume Jair Alexander's coming in here to play a prominent, health permitting, prominent role in this defense.
I'm saying, Bob, the rookies. The rookies are, you know, Langerbeam and Cone.
Cone.
I think they're going to feel it because there was, and we had just talked about it, you know, when you mention all the names, a lot of inexperience there. So Jair brings, you know, instant credibility and stuff back there. And if he can stay healthy, he will probably, if he can stay healthy, probably replaces Armour Davis on the outside when Marlon Humphrey moves on the inside, then Armour Davis and Tampa are your two backup corners.
Does this discourage the young guys, though, knowing that they brought in someone, in theory, to take their place on the depth chart? You got to keep your spirits up here. And,
yeah,
you know, for Armour Davis, speaking of injuries, a guy that's dealt with nothing but injuries in his
career. Yeah, the thing about it is, Bob, I mean, you can't worry about what they get drafted in, fourth, fifth round or fifth, sixth round, and you got a team that's ready to go win the Super Bowl. You can't worry about, hurt feelings. This is a business right now, and you got to put, and Eric's doing his job. He's putting the best people on the field, and, you know, we'll see. I mean, they've got opportunities to step up. I mean, all right, you got all the training camp. You got three preseason games. You got a practice game against Washington. Show that you belong. And you know what? If nothing else, here's what's going to happen too, Bob, is if you're another team looking at the Ravens and everybody's healthy in those preseason games, you're looking at Ravens got a lot of extra corners. You know, if you need a corner, you're going to watch the Ravens because they can't keep them all.
Hey, Wonder Pill meet with the media later today. Jair Alexander.
Probably. They're defensive guys today.
Because John Harbaugh is going to be up there with the mic in his face. Real quick, it's NFL lunch. Jair Alexander signs with the Ravens. It's official. They have pictures of it. If you don't believe us, you know, go to BaltimoreRavens.com. Check it out for yourself. You talk about the defensive guys that got your attention. Anybody on offense that's done the same? Maybe in particular some of these young wideouts brought into the equation.
Well, I mean, Bob, the young guys, I thought they did a nice job, but Zay Flowers was, like, spectacular. I mean, he was so fast, so explosive, just snatching the ball, running great routes. You know, and D-Hop, the other one, Bob, I mean, he's over there running sprints. I mean, those guys, like, and Bate, too. The starting guys really jumped out at me because they looked fast, they looked explosive, they were snatching balls, no drop balls, precise routes. I mean, they looked damn good.
Now, Anthony Miller's not a young guy, he's 30 years old, been in the league for 5 years, but, you know, he's making an impression.
Yes, he is. And he's back there returning punts and stuff too, Bob. So he's got some quickness. He's got some Zay-like traits because he's small like that. He's 5'9". He's not as quick or as explosive, but he's got quickness and explosiveness. He's going to be in the hunt. He'll be in the hunt.
NFL lunch, Vinny's on his way now to one winning drive. Find out what's happening. What's all the buzz with the Ravens out there at the castle? Vinny, I'll see you in the morning.
Yes, you will. Nope. And I'll text you, Bob, like when I get out there, I'll text you who's talking.
Excellent. American League East report coming up next. What happened in the Orioles division? their win is off also a big thing we'll get into. But what else happened in the AL East last night? Look at the schedule today. Updated look at the standings. And Chris Boombacha, USA Today, talks about NFL with him. What does he think of Jair Alexander coming to Baltimore, adding yet another stud to an already stud-worthy team?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto.
A closer look at the AL East with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, time for the American League East report. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Vinny's on his way to one winning drive to welcome the newest Raven, Jair Alexander, 1 year, $6 million. Somewhere along those lines. We'll talk about that. Chris Boombacha at the bottom of the hour. Orioles beat the Rays last night, 5-1. Birds pound out 13 hits. Colton Cowser hit a home run on an 0-2 pitch, his only hit in a night in which he struck out the other three times. Nolan McGraw, real quick, not to turn this into a bummer conversation, but what's your concern level with the K rate for old Moo Man here?
I mean, maybe a little bit. It's not great, but again, just like we were saying, you know, Mayo wasn't in the lineup last night. Everyone had a problem with that, but they still got the job done. So hard for me to argue with overall team results. I would hate to think that his crash into the wall maybe affected him in any way, but the fact that he's out there and he didn't have to hit the IL, I'll take that as a win.
Good point. Did hit a home run, so more total bases than strikeouts, I guess. That's all that matters. Jordan Westberg, 3-for-5 with a couple of runs scored. Sterling defense as always. Ramon Laureano, who is quietly becoming, not so quietly, one of the feel-good stories of this Orioles season. Great play in right field. Not even setting and throwing. Just kind of throwing off the back foot. He's got that cannon arm to begin with. And as Jim Hunter said, a little sweep tag from Gunner prevented a double. Dylan Carlson had three knocks and a couple of runs. So the offense getting it done, 5-for-10 with runners in scoring position. You'll take that all day, every day. Dee Kramer, 5 innings, 4 hits, a run. Bob Haney quality start. So I'll take that. He gets the win. It's 6th of the year. Keegan Aiken comes in, helps a bullpen. Soto, Baker, and Batista that go scoreless. So the Orioles even the series against the Tampa Bay Rays tonight. Game 2 of it. Lefty Trevor Rogers makes his second start of the year. For the Birds, Taj Bradley, right-hander 4-5 with a 4.35, is on the mound for the Tampa Bay Rays. Baltimore baseball tonight. Tim Barbalace and crew getting you ready. Starting tonight at 6, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. Last night in the division, outside of the Orioles and Rays, the Angels in the Bronx. Hey, the Angels got swept by the Orioles. They've been in New York for a couple of days, and boy, did they forget about that sweep, including, once again, last night.
Line drive, it's off the glove of Chisholm into left field. A base hit for Ward scores Neto. It brings home Shotwell, and the Angels have a 3-0 lead.
Ward with 2 ribbies last night. That was FanDuel Sports on the call. Taylor Ward knocks in a couple. Hendricks and the bullpen shuts down New York. 4-0 was the final score. The Yankees have lost 5 in a row. They've been shut out 3 consecutive games. They haven't scored a run in 29 innings. So the Yankees, a little June swoon offensively, and the Angels, hey, good for them bouncing back after the Birds kind of handed it to them over the weekend. Blue Jays, Diamondbacks, you like drama? Especially if you're a Toronto fan. Well, you got plenty of drama last night.
Squared up. Swing and a high drive! Right field! Way back! The Blue Jays win the game!
Barger with the walk-off homer. Sportsnet on the call. Bichette tied the game with a home run in the 9th inning as Toronto was trailing. Vlad Jr. also went deep during the night as Toronto stuns. That's a stunning loss. Arizona 5-4. And in the great Northwest, the Red Sox been kind of riding a heater, but they fell to a team that's got maybe the hottest home run hitter in baseball right now.
Going after the first pitch, a high rising fly ball.
That's a grand slam, Root Sports, Cal Raleigh. Breaking out the whipping sticks. He had a grand slam, drove in six on the night. Brian Woo goes seven innings, one hit, six strikeouts as Seattle gets medieval on the Red Sox there. 8-0 in game two of that series coming up tonight and today. 4-10 in Seattle, Red Sox, Mariners get reacquainted. The Angels trying to finish off the Yankees here at 7:05. Arizona at Toronto, 7:07. And then it's the Orioles at the Rays. That's coming up at 7:35. Standings in Major League Baseball. As we said, the Yankees have lost five straight. Still maintain a 2.5 game advantage over the Rays. You know, it's hard to believe, you know, and I'm not as smart as I used to be, and I wasn't all that bright to begin with. But if Tampa would have won last night, they would have quietly pulled to within a game and a half of first place. Nobody saw that coming like 2 weeks ago. Well, we're kind of getting close. 2.5 is Tampa. Blue Jays actually gain a game. They're three games off the pace. Toronto's three games out of first. Boston 5.5. Orioles still 11 back, but, you know, chip away. Still minus 75 run differential, which is not ideal. In the NL AL Central, Tigers, they're up big, 9.5 over the Guardians. Remember how hot Minnesota was when the Orioles played them on a couple of occasions? Well, they've lost five in a row. They're 10 games out. Kansas City, 11.5. Chicago, we know them. They've lost six straight. They're 23.5. Nolan, real quick, Kansas City, you know, they're three games under 500, 11.5 out of first. They've lost 8 of 10. Where are they on the disappointing team scale right now?
They're in the mix. You know, I hate to bury anyone here in June as much as I would love to beat up on the Royals for everything they've done to the Orioles over
Correct.
The years. But, yeah, they're not going anywhere.
Houston, 4.5 up in the West over Seattle, 6 over Texas, 6.5 over the Angels. A's, you know, they're back of the pack, 13. Mets, they've lost four straight. They're 2 up on the Phillies. We talked about the Braves multiple times. They're 12 back. Nats are 15 back. They've lost 10 in a row. Miami's 15 back, so things are a little putrid at the back end of that division. Cubs have won three straight. They're 6.5 on Milwaukee in the Central. Cards and Reds, 7 back. Pirates bringing up the rear. They've lost 3 in a row after a mini uprising there. And the Dodgers, they've won 4 straight. Giants have lost 3 in a row. They're 3.5 back. Padres, they're 5 back. Diamondbacks, we just played the lowlights of that debacle for them as they got walked off by the Blue Jays. They're 8 back. And Colorado, oh boy. They won 3 in a row. They trimmed that deficit in the West to 28.5 games here in the second half of June. Wild card standings, because, yeah, we're there with the Orioles. If the playoffs started today, which they don't, Tampa, Toronto, Seattle would be your wild card teams with Cleveland, Boston, half game, Minnesota, et cetera, et cetera. Orioles 6 out. Hey, Friday, the Orioles are 8.5 out of the wild card. So they've gained 2.5. In the National League, Phillies, Giants, and Padres would be in. Brewers would be a game out. Cards and Reds, game and a half. Diamondbacks, 3. Braves, 6.5. And then you got everybody else kind of chasing from there. So that's your baseball news here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. When we come back, we'll circle back to the National Football League with Chris Boombacha from USA Today. Just tuning in. Jair Alexander signs a one-year deal with the Ravens. $6 million, could be maybe more with incentives, but Jair Alexander, as Nolan was telling me during the break, took less to come to Baltimore to reunite with his college buddy, Lamar Jackson, two-time Pro Bowler. Hey, welcome to the nest.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I guess it's the slowest time of the year in the National Football League season from USA Today. It's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show Chris Boombacha. Chris, thanks for holding. Welcome back to the program. Hope you're having a great Wednesday.
Yeah, same here. Hope you're doing great. Always awesome to be on with you guys.
And appreciate the time. Apologize for the voice. I don't know where this is cropping up from all of a sudden. But Jair Alexander coming to Baltimore, two-time Pro Bowler, teammate of Lamar's at Louisville. Lamar mentioned him by name yesterday. Well, it was brought up. Go get him, Eric. Well, Eric went and got him. So if he's healthy, and I guess, Chris, this is always a big if with him, if he's healthy, what kind of player has Zach Orr added to his defense? And Chuck Pagano, another nice fancy toy, it seems like.
Yeah, at his best, Alexander's, in my mind, a top five, at worst, top seven corner in the league. Guy can really shut down as a team's top option on the outside there. And for a Ravens team that has a really solid foundation and a solid core, like, you can't ask for anything better than getting a corner, a really great corner on a team-friendly deal like this, since the Packers ended up having to cut him and eating the dead cap on their end. So I think for the Ravens, it's a no-brainer. And isn't life a lot better when Lamar Jackson and Eric DaCosta are working together instead of against each other? I think it's a great sign for the Ravens heading into the break here.
Yeah, we'll see how that contract renegotiating goes over the next few months. But that's another topic, Chris, for another day. And before we bounce around the division, the AFC North and the NFC a little bit here with the Ravens, and Lamar, first time he had spoken to the media here in 6 months, basically since the playoff loss to Buffalo. Vengeance on their minds, the Ravens, because they've been a Super Bowl-worthy team. They've been among the favorites to win the Super Bowl for many years, certainly during the majority of the Lamar era, but they've never gotten to the Super Bowl. And I don't think the window is going to be closing anytime soon, but with the Ravens and the Bills here in the AFC, I mean, as the years go and the lack of Super Bowl appearances grow, how much does the frustration grow? And maybe even more so, how much does the pressure grow on Allen, Lamar, McDermott, John Harbaugh, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, that's it's going to be like that until they break through and take out the Chiefs, right? Like, but in the case of Lamar and the Ravens, it's going to come down to a couple of the plays and whether or not they're able to execute, just like it was 2 years ago in the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs, came down to a couple plays in execution. Last year in Buffalo, came down to a couple plays in execution. We're going to do all this again, and because Lamar is so great and I think so highly of the Ravens front office that they will always be in a position, that window will always be open as long as he's there. It's going to come down to those handful of plays in the most important moments of the season in the playoffs. So until those plays are executed the way we know that they can be when it comes down to Lamar and the Ravens, then they're going to be playing second fiddle to the Chiefs, and that goes for the Bills too, obviously. I can make the same argument for execution with them and down to their, you know, tush-push failure and the fourth down play last year and the drops all around. So, the Chiefs are where they are because they execute in those moments and they know who they are, and I think teams like the Bills and the Ravens can sometimes forget that when they get to these bright moments.
Now, Chris, says the Bills are in a division where they seem to be the clear favorites to win the AFC East, and this is with all due respect to Miami, the Jets, and the Patriots here. Aaron Rodgers signs with the Steelers, and he's took a, I guess, cheap deal. He's going to mentor, you know, Will Howard. He's saying and doing all the right things. He loves Mike Tomlin. That's great. At this stage of his career, what, 41, 42? And statistically, what, horrible for New York, but they didn't win a ton of games. Aaron Rodgers coming in at this phase, how much does he change the balance of power in the AFC North? Is it going to be a noticeable thing if he's similar to what he was last year statistically for the Jets?
Yeah, I think if he's like the same statistically, the Steelers are probably kind of in a similar situation where they're just a low-end wild-card team at best, and they'll lose in the first round as they kind of done in the last 10 years or so under Mike Tomlin. But what Mike Tomlin is betting on with signing Aaron Rodgers is that there is a little bit of magic left and that he can help, Rodgers being, can help Tomlin get over that playoff hump and make a deep run for the first time since I think it was the 2016 season they made it to the AFC Championship game. So that's where the Steelers are coming from here. And I am hesitant to count Aaron Rodgers out just because up until some guy named Patrick Mahomes came along, he was the most talented quarterback I'd ever seen. I didn't say best. I said talented.
Sure.
Most talented quarterback I'd ever seen throw a football in my life. And obviously, Rodgers' mental game and how he processes and has just played so much football is a huge advantage for the Steelers. But, I mean, on the physical side, what I saw last year was pretty concerning. So, again, I'm hesitant just because it was the Jets and he was coming off the injury and all those things that were kind of working against him. Maybe in Pittsburgh it's a fresher start, less of a media spotlight, and they're able to kind of get on the same page even with his late signing there. But it seems like they kind of had this in place, so I'm not as concerned on that front of him, you know, kind of like learning a playbook and things like that. I'm sure it will be catered to him. And again, that's another thing where it's like, you know, two sides of the coin. Yes, great, it's catered to Aaron Rodgers, the plays and the offense, but is that a good thing at this in 2025, you know, National Football League offense? I don't know.
Chris, we look at the Cincinnati Bengals now. We know the offense is potent, to say the least, but they missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. And, you know, Zach Taylor might be feeling some heat from the media, maybe within the organization. But defensively, looks like Hendrickson and the team, they've reopened negotiations, which is coincidental given the fact that their first-round pick, Stewart, walked out of mandatory minicamp. Why does it always, I don't say circus-like atmosphere, but why are things never really clean news-wise with the Bengals? And defensively, I mean, they were sieve-like with Trey Hendrickson. I mean, well, we've talked about it. Rodgers. Joe Burrow threw 9 touchdown passes against the Ravens last year, and they lost both games. So how much will this be burden-wise for them trying to level up here and get back to the playoffs?
Well, last year, the linebacker and secondary play was just so horrible, and it was a combination of like coaching and personnel and injuries, and Lou Anarumo had a fall on the sword and lost his job for it, right, the former defensive coordinator there. So I think, you know, just progression to the mean in their case, the defense, especially those position groups, will be a little bit better this year. But I mean, you're right, the Trey Hendrickson's had some really nice seasons in the past couple of years, and for him not to be a lock on the roster, or you know, to just, you know, have that animosity is never good, and it's bleeding into the rookie contract negotiations. You said that it's not circus like really, but I think that if Cincinnati was a bigger media market, or if it was a bigger, you know, a team in a bigger city, I think we would be calling it circus, like, honestly, because it's, you know, it's crazy. I mean, the Shamar Stewart thing, I've never seen before. I mean, I've only been covering the league for a few years. Never seen these rookie contracts are, you know, pretty standard. I know it's a language thing, but, you know, the money is the money. Like, it all depends on where you're drafted. So it's only the Bengals, right? Like, that's kind of how I see it. And I think they are hurt by, you know, not having they have a de facto general manager in Duke Tobin, but they kind of like lack that somebody with that title is the reality of it. And I think the perception of it is that nobody really knows, you know, who's calling the shots. And, you know, Mike Brown's reputation as an owner isn't very good. So it's a bad situation for the Bengals, and they need to get off to a good start this year. I think it was 1-4 they started last year, totally put them behind the eight ball. That's why they missed the playoffs, even with Burrow's pretty incredible statistical season and how that offense got humming. So this is a team that has said, and Joe has said throughout the offseason, like, starting fast is really important to them. Winning games in September is going to matter to them a ton. And if you have this as training camp approaches, like all this drama, it's not a good sign. So I'm really interested to see how they're able to shake things out over the next month. And like, maybe if they get it settled heading into training camp, they can put it to bed quickly. They're able to get off to that fast start, but I mean, it's not looking great for them.
Chris Boombacha, USA Today, talking to NFL here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Vinny's out at 1 winning drive with the Ravens. Let's get to the NFC, and in particular, the North. Detroit had the best season in the history of that franchise, regular season. Fell short in the playoffs, frustration city. Minnesota was great as well, unexpectedly, kind of flatlined towards the end. Now J.J. McCarthy is coming in to take over for Darnold now in Seattle. So you look at Minnesota, that 14-3, the Pack's been in the postseason 2 years in a row. the Bears are getting a lot of, you know, trendy run, I guess, Chris, for a team that could maybe rise up the ranks. But where do you put the Vikings right now? A team that went from 14 wins to maybe where? I mean, I'd be stunned if they duplicate that, but how far would a drop-off be if there is, in fact, a drop-off for them?
Yeah, I think McCarthy's development and progression throughout the season is going to be really interesting to monitor. I know that the people there are, you know, obviously very high on him. You don't take him number 10 overall if you're not, but like just the way that he handled himself through the injury last year and when he wasn't able to play, I think he, it was a, in the grand scheme of things, a good thing for him on the mental side. And like, you know, there was a question of whether, how much he was going to play anyway, just to be able to acclimate a little bit better to the NFL world and that style of play and how things are called. Cause he's coming from, you know, a college Jim Harbaugh offense and Sharon Moore there, where he was doing a lot of handing the ball off. Right. And the good news for McCarthy is that he's got a really good team around him, right? Like he's going to be able to throw to the Justin Jefferson. He's got Aaron Jones in the backfield, and they addressed that interior of the offensive line that kind of did Darnold in at the end of the season when they were letting a lot of pressure in his face and he couldn't really handle that. And I think any quarterback would kind of struggle when you're receiving a rush right up the middle. So, I think McCarthy's in great hands with Kevin O'Connell. I consider O'Connell like a top five coach in the league. I'm really high on him. Just from like an organizational leader standpoint, but also the way that he works with quarterbacks, right? Like the track record is there. Him and Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland, I think, are like two of the best at getting the most out of their guys. And I would see for the Vikings, like 14 wins is probably a lot. Like I don't know if they'll be able to, they might lose a couple of wins there to Chicago and Green Bay, like dropping off. So, I mean, 10-7 is reasonable for them. And in the grand scheme of the standings, they'll be kind of where they were when last season ended, in that 5-6 range. So that's my expectation for them.
Chris Boombacher, what's happening at USA Today as mini camps are coming to an end and then we get this little break, air quotes, before training camp?
Well, you know, we're going to keep all the content rolling. I was in Cleveland all last week for the Browns mini camp, and I got a front row view of Joe Flacco and the rookies Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, obviously. I was calling it the Shedeur Show. So we got a lot of great content up there from last week, so please go check that out. And, you know, wrote yesterday about Lamar and the Ravens and vengeance, right? He's doing his Robert Pattinson Batman impression heading into 2025. So, yeah, all great stuff. And we'll be kicking it up for training camp. And before we know it, I'll be back on the phone with you and Vinny, and you know, we'll be chopping it up out at Owings Mills.
Yeah, Ravens 16-1. Mark it down, or maybe not. Exactly. That's why they play the games. Chris Boombacher, appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you.
There's Chris Boombacher. Everybody, we'll come back, reset the program, take a quick funhouse trip, and then Inside Access takes over at 2:00, and then at 6:00, it's Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. Orioles and Rays Game 3. We'll be talking about it here on the Fan. I don't have 7 innings, 3 hit, 10K expectations, but I expect that Trevor Rogers will give them something that should encourage the Orioles to put him in there every fifth day. I think out of the minor league doldrums, got his command back a little bit. Velo's, you know, it's not Sandy Koufax, but it's better than it was when he was sucking for the Birds last year. I think Trevor Rogers, all right, backhanded compliment, will not embarrass himself tonight. How's that?
A chance to win. That's all you're looking for from anyone in this rotation right now. Others obviously get leaned on a little bit heavier because of what they've shown. Sagano, Eflin at times. But for Rogers, a lot was riding on him when he arrived in that trade. The day the trade went down, a lot of people weren't happy with it. It became even more obscene as the season played out and then into the offseason with the injury. But now's his chance to prove, or at least show, maybe a fraction of why Elias went out and got him.
Yep, it's your turn, man. Go out there and take advantage of it. Because with Povich out for a couple of weeks, you'll get opportunities to prove whether or not you belong in said five-man rotation. Ravens speaking today out at One Winning Drive. As Vinny's checking in here, it is John Harbaugh, Marlon Humphrey, Kyle Hamilton. So there you go, some heavy hitters on the defensive side, and just tuning into the show, Jair Alexander, former Packer, two-time Pro Bowler, He signs a one-year deal, $4 million, could be worth up to $6 million, and it's a seems not only like a low financial risk, which could have a high on-the-field performance reward.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much my instant thoughts on it. Pretty low risk, chance for very high reward. Talking about a guy who was a second-team All-Pro two times in his career. You know, it's been a while since he's been at that level, mostly because he just hasn't been healthy enough, but the Ravens aren't leaning on him to be a starter or their top cornerback like the Packers. That was the money they were giving him, to be the dude. Well, now it's $4 million. He's just a piece of the puzzle.
And hopefully he is a dude, which would be an added bonus for Zach or Chuck Pagano and that Ravens defense. Nolan, any closing thoughts for the people? Or are we funhousing it up here?
Well, for those wondering with Alexander, he's not practicing today. Oh. That's been confirmed.
Oh, and, man.
On top of that, you mentioned the people talking. Alexander will not be speaking to the media, says here, won't be made available until he's on the field, so have to wait till training camp.
And whatever that is, probably within the next, 6 weeks from now? Today's the 18th. Well, we're usually hitting the field, 25th, 26th of July, somewhere along there. 5 weeks from now, I guess.
Well, it's always earlier and earlier every year. You never know.
Yeah, well, get out there, get yourself ready, because expectations, not to put any pressure on the Ravens, are extremely high. Super Bowl or bust expectations at that. All right, Funhouse real quick.
Quick Draws Funhouse. Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, roster. How does it look for the Ravens? This texter says, I think on paper, definitely better than any other team in Ravens history. Pretty much the same offense, but you upgraded your wide receiver depth and get Mitchell back as well. Defensively, they might not get the same results as a 2000 Ravens defense, but the pieces are certainly there.
Yeah, this is a team. It's young with, you know, veterans that are proven. I mean, is there – all right, Van Noy's a little up in age, right? Henry for a running back's post-30. But other than that, there's no old geezers anchoring, you know, critical spots for them. So not only are they talented, they're relatively young in a lot of areas too.
And one on the Jair Alexander signing says, I usually don't buy into the speculation about players taking less money to play somewhere over another, but for Alexander to move this quick, come to the Ravens, 1 year, $6 million. I think this is the Lamar Jackson effect on full display. There was probably plenty of playoff teams offering him money as well.
We talked about it during the last break, as a matter of fact. Not only does Lamar attract offensive players who want to come here and be part of this Ravens organization, defensive players now want to be part of this fun, because this is a good team with Super Bowl hopes, real ones at that. You know, why not be along for the ride? Ravens are better than the Packers, in my humble opinion. Green Bay's not bad.
Obviously, the Louisville connection is what everyone's going to point to. But I think even without that, if they didn't go to the same school, if they didn't really know each other before this, you could still argue that he might want to come here over other teams just because, well, I mean, what have we been talking about all day long? The Ravens are set up with a better situation to win than most other teams in the league.
100%. That's going to do it for us. Inside Access coming up here in a matter of minutes, followed by Baltimore Baseball tonight at 6 o'clock. We're back tomorrow at 10 o'clock with Turn It Up, or Total Request Thursday, excuse me. Vinny will be here, get his impressions from 2 days of minicamp, and hopefully talking about the Orioles taking advantage in the series against Tampa and maybe going for 3 out of 4. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. The rains are coming, so be careful on the roads. For now, class dismissed.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.